This is a recording of the May 7, 2018 Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. in the Chuyach Electric Boardroom.
And I'm calling to order the Audit and Finance Committee meeting. We have directors who are on the committee and are present in the room. Director Henderson, Director Chastain. We have Director Reeves on the committee joining us here video conference. We also have and myself. We also have directors present who are not on the committee, Crawford and Parks. The next item is approval of the agenda. I would like to point out that we'll be adding item D under 8, new business, which would be the 401k plan audit. So if there's a motion, we're printing an updated agenda. So that would be an item under 8, will be 8D, 401k plan audit. It will require an action, so the person making the motion should note that that is the motion they will be moving.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda as amended to add item D8 and action on item D8.
Second.
There's the motion and the second for approval of the amended of the agenda as amended. Is there all in favor? Is there further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed. Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is item 3, approval of the minutes from March 19th.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the meeting minutes from the March 19th Audit Finance Committee meeting.
Second.
Motion by Director Chastain, seconded by Director Henderson. Any further discussion on the meeting minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Persons to be heard. We have no retail or wholesale members. That's, we don't have those, but we have no members to be heard. And we'll move on to item 5. Which is the CEO reports and correspondence. So we will go under the, we will go through the first quarter financials in number 6. However, are there any questions on the CEO reports and correspondence at this time?
I just have one item just to bring to your attention under the capital tracking report. So there's one project that was brought to you, second to the last item, the Haynes substation upgrade. And originally it came to you for approval. It was approved in December, $1.9 million. And as you can see, the forecast to completion has been amended down, and the description is that they're going to use the existing transformer. So that that puts that project at an estimated completion of 750, which is actually below your threshold. So I just wanted to, since the board approved it, we put it on the capital tracking. You can see that it's been amended due to the scope. So going forward for 2018, you won't see that project on here anymore.
So it was Hope substation.
Sorry.
Right.
Hope.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't read. Yeah. Haynes, Hope. Sorry, it's Hope. So if you have any questions, just moving forward, we're going to remove that from the tracking.
So any questions about that Hope substation project that we will not be seeing going forward because it would fall below that threshold? I think that's really good that we were able to reuse the transformer and reduce the cost of that project overall. Do committee members or other board members have any questions on item 5, and if you think of anything later, we can come back to it, but yes.
Question. the Form 990, are most of the changes on that related to the implementation of these new accounting rules?
No, on the tax return?
Yeah.
No, there haven't been any significant changes in the tax laws. And then for the 990.
Okay.
And I think you meant the 10Q, because those are, that is true. What
yeah.
you said is true about the 10Q.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Wrong one. Out of turn. Okay.
So next we have item 6, new business, and Kathy Harris will join us for the first quarter financials.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
We're going to take a look at the results of the financial operations of the association for the first quarter. We're going to look at megawatt hour sales, our statement of operations, the balance sheet, our statement of cash flows, and then we're going to do a quick update on a new accounting standard that we'll be working on implementing during 2018. First quarter, we enjoyed a mild winter this year, and because of that, we see a decline in our sales. We are down 4.4% compared to what we had budgeted for this year, which was also at the same level that we had our actuals at 2017. So sales are down on the retail side. They're also down on the wholesale side, with the sewage sales are down 5.8% compared to where we had budgeted for this year, which was at the same level of 2017.
Would that relate to the sale from MLP to Fairbanks as opposed to our economy sales?
Oh, we can.
No, this is just the retail and the wholesale sales. So those numbers, we don't have those on these charts. However, what you do see that, in addition to this, is on this slide when we see our operating revenues. But actually, we don't budget for economy sales, so it doesn't create a budget variance when we don't get them.
Okay, thank you.
But on the operating revenue side, you can see we're down $3.9 million as a result in the decline in sales we saw in the first quarter. Of course, a lot of our expenses follow our sales, so our fuel and purchase power expenses are also down about $2.3 million. Most of our operating expenses were also down, but we still ended up with about $1.2 million negative variance compared to where we expected our margins to be at the end of the quarter. We had margins of $3 million versus $2.3 million. The one variance we had, I think everybody would recognize, in consumer accounts of about $340,000, that's where we had our advertising expenses related to the ballot initiative with MLMP. So that caused a negative variance there. We didn't include that in the budget last year.
And we can see that also in other material, so the contracts report.
Yeah,
thank you.
This next slide is a pie chart that just gives us kind of a visual breakout of the $53 million in operating and interest expense that we incurred in the first quarter. As you can see, the largest portion, 43%, is made up of fuel and purchase power expenses. And our next slide is the asset side of the balance sheet. This, you can also see this in more detail on page 3 of your 10Q. Not a whole lot of change this quarter. Total change in total assets was about $14 million. The biggest change was in accounts receivable. They're down. Naturally, if sales are down, accounts receivable will also be down. And just the nature of the fact that with the milder weather, we normally have lower sales at the end of March than we do at the end of the year in December. On the liability side of the balance sheet, excuse me, we also are down $14 million. The biggest activity during the quarter was, of course, on March 15th, we make our annual bond payments. So our long-term obligations are down by $24 million. Under accrued liabilities, we're down $4.3 million. That's accrued interest related to those bond payments. We did increase our commercial paper by about $12 million to help us make those payments. And you can see that kind of in another format on the next slide, which is our statement of cash flows. We start with the margins that came forward from slide five of $3 million for the year. We add back our depreciation and amortization and adjust for changes in operating assets and liabilities to get $11 million in net cash provided by operating activities. We used almost $4 million of that for extension and replacement of plant in the first quarter. So our net cash used in investing activities was $3.3 million. And then in the financing activities, you can see once again the increase in the commercial paper of $12 million offset by the reduction in long-term obligations of $24 million for net cash used in financing activities of $11 million. Actually, the biggest change on this sheet this time is our lines four and five. In the past, we've included just cash and cash equivalents. We are now including restricted cash in these numbers. That's the result of a new accounting standard that went into effect. So if you pulled your slides from last year at 3/31/17, the numbers would be a little bit different because we restated last year to also make it comparable and to comply with the new accounting standard. And the new accounting standard is discussed in a little bit more detail on page 18 of your 10-Q. And coming up this year, we thought on our quarterly updates, we would kind of keep you posted on how we're doing on our leases, which is the new big accounting standard we are implementing this year, accounting standard 842. We're starting with just going through all of our contracts and our payments we're making to identify any contracts that contain a lease, which is basically defined now as the a contract that allows us to use a property, plant, and equipment. We're establishing a database, a spreadsheet, that identifies all of these, when they started, when they end, a little bit about their terms, because that helps us identify what type of lease there is. It is. There's basically two types of leases, and the difference between them, both of them have to go on the balance sheet now. It used to be operating leases didn't go on the balance sheet, and financing leases did, but now all leases have to go on the balance sheet. But based on the terms of the contract, how they're accounted for depends on whether they're operating or financing makes a difference in how they're accounted for as the contract proceeds. One of the things that they came out with, because it's not a huge thing for us because we don't have a lot of contracts, but a lot of big multinational companies have thousands of contracts that contain leases. So there have been concerns about the complexity and the cost of implementing this standard. So the FASB has come out with some practical expedients, they call it, to make the implementation a little bit easier. And they basically said, you can make an election to not go back and restate your existing contracts. If you've been treating them as an operating lease, you don't have to go back and reevaluate them under the new standard. You continue to treat them as an operating lease. You do have to put them on the balance sheet, but you don't have to account for them differently. So that's one thing that we're looking at. But first of all, we need to go through and review our contracts and see if there's any reason we would not want to use that practical expedient. But we're leaning that way unless we find a contract where that would be to our disadvantage. So our next steps are to continue our analysis and start developing memos that document the analysis we're going through so that we have a record to provide our auditors so that they can see we did our due diligence in implementing this new accounting standard.
And we must implement by January 2019.
That's correct, yes. Are there any questions?
Just one, and it's very technical. What happens if the lessor reclassifies the lease as a finance lease as opposed to an operating? How do they deal with that? I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just really curious. It's very technical, but I'm...
The lessor is under no obligation to tell us how they are accounting for theirs, so we have to come to our own conclusions and document them regardless of how they're doing their accounting.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I have a question. We talked at our last board meeting, I think, about the decrease in sales because of the weather. Mm-hmm. Of the 4.4% or 3 to 4% that it's down, how much of that is, have we done the analysis of how much of that is really weather related versus something else?
The heating degree days are down about 7% year over year. So load's down about 4%. We haven't quantified where that other, where the rest of that is, although we speculate that it's inefficiency LED lighting conversion.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, how much of that is going to carry forward throughout the year versus, because it seems like it's been awfully cold, so, you know, hopefully we continue to have that 4%.
That
but some percent of it, it may be something else, right?
Yep, not that we're hoping for a cold sun.
And, go ahead, Susan.
Well, I guess following on Tina's question, I had written down over here on my little notebook whether we should ask Sherry just whether the board should be concerned about the failure to meet our targets on TIER and MFI over I.
So we did meet. The executive staff did meet. We met actually when we reviewed the February results. And we are monitoring and we're working with regulatory affairs on what can then be collected from the decrease in sales and the timing. And so we are monitoring and looking at our expenses, and it's all accounted for in the forecast, the last page of the variance memo, and we will continue month to month to evaluate that and determine if we need to make any changes to expenses. But as you know, if you make changes to expenses, then you can't recover them. And so it's sort of you have to balance between making consistent financial results and still getting your expenses recovered in rates. So that is something we are monitoring. We would have wished we wouldn't have had to start monitoring so early in the year. And so I'm sorry, but I am hoping for a cold summer. We are definitely on top of it.
Well, shame on you.
Sorry. Harry?
So I was wondering if... maybe we, you know, it seems like the last several years, the trend is a little bit warmer each year. Should we change the way we predict what the temperatures for the coming year are going to be for what we budget for? And just realize that it's getting warmer?
Actually, potentially, however, Kathy, if you could go back to the five-year slide.
Yeah, that's where I am.
It's really tough when you look at what happened in 2017. So you have this big year that's consistent. 2017 was consistent with 2014 and 2015. So really, if you look at that trend, you really only have two outliers, which is 2016 and 2017. So, you know, potentially we should take that into consideration. However, what the past shows us is 3 out of 5 of the last 2 years are normal. 2017 just looks like it's a little abnormal. So we will continue to review and make adjustments to the forecast going forward and budgets. But this is the data that we're also using from a historical standpoint. So it's a good point.
Also, historically, don't we tend to make this up in the last quarter, kind of? I guess it's too early to be considering changes to the forecast, right? Because we
correct
can make
and
out
we do
sales.
And we do make most of our sales in the first quarter and in the last quarter. So and we do budget that way. So while it still will be colder and we'll have sales in the fourth quarter, we would have accounted for that based on it.
True.
So it's just that we didn't account for the first quarter being lower than budget. So
Arthur,
the other thing I wanted to mention is that we do have project underway to determine exactly what's driving this, because there's no question energy efficiency is a variable, but so is the weather. But where are we on that inflection point? At some point, we're going to people have done as much as they possibly could do to be efficient, and we're going to start having an increasing trend because the number of customers that we serve continues to go up, but the total sales is going down. So we want to know where we stand on a projected basis, and we should know that hopefully in the next couple of months.
Is that project only looking at load forecast, you know, sales forecast, or is part of it looking at decoupling of rates, or just trying to forecast better?
More for getting a better idea on the forecast basis.
Okay.
Susan.
Yeah, I just wanted to build on Harry's question and make sure I remember correctly, because I think that Janet brought that question up a few years ago about how do we do our budgeting, and prior to the time she asked the question, we were budgeting an increase every year, and it looks like last year we budgeted no increase in sales, and I just want to make sure, is that correct? Am I remembering correctly?
That is correct. We budgeted no increase for the 2018 year. That's correct.
All right. Thanks.
Sounds like that's the first step, and then we'll see how that project is going. Anything else on the presentation that's up on the board now? All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
And next item is 7, which is executive session. Is there a motion?
I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, the Audit and Finance Committee go into executive session to discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Motion and second. All in favor of going into executive session, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And we are in executive session. All right, so we're out of executive session. We're at item 8A. Is there a motion?
Move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend management file a SEC 10-Q by the date due, incorporating any amendments or to the document, which will be reviewed and approved by KPMG. Ms. Stewart and Ms. Heyer will immediately inform the board in writing of any material or significant change.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the Form 10-Q. Any discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next item is 8B. Is there a motion?
I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend to the Board of Directors to approve the tax services for FY 2018. There's a 2 missing in that.
Second.
Right, motion and a second for pre-approval of the FY 2018 tax services. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next item under new business is 8C. So this is part of our annual Audit and Finance Committee duties to review on an annual basis the policy 207, but we have in our packet an additional policy that 207 references. That is not to say that we're required to revise it, but a review falls under our responsibilities on an annual interval. And we recently, fairly recently reviewed all of our board policies, but in your review, did you see anything that needs more discussion or any potential amendments to those policies? Nothing jumps out. Susan, I don't know if you can hear me. I just didn't know if you had anything to add in light of, you know.
I don't know. We may need to make some changes to this in light of after the acquisition, but we did quite an extensive review of these policies 2 years ago, and I'm not aware of any issue that has arisen in the last year that would cause us to look at them again.
Yeah, when I reviewed it for the purpose of this year's review, I didn't see anything that would require any action at this time. So, okay, if there's no further discussion on this item, we can move on to 8D.
I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the retention of KPMG for employees' 401k plan audit services for fiscal year 2018 as discussed in executive session.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of approval of the 401k plan audit services, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next, we're going to move on to item 9, director comments. We'll start with those on the committee. Susan?
Well, it's always good to have a fairly non-emotional presentation of an audit, so I appreciated that a lot, and I appreciated the opportunity to talk to Beth in executive session, and I know you made that happen for us, CC, and I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you, Susan. Jim? Bettina?
I just want to echo Susan's comments. You know, there's a lot going on, and you know, added accounting practices and things just put more pressure on the staff that's already really working very hard. So I just appreciate the efforts, and again, thanks for, you know, good financials. And I really don't hope for a cold summer, but I kind of do, I guess. So.
Carrie?
No comments.
Rachel?
Yeah, you know, we have the culture of safety here at Chugach, and we often think when we talk about our culture of safety that we're referring to the people who are on the front lines in regards to the fact that electricity at the end of the day is still a very powerful force. But I want to acknowledge that the culture of safety also exists for our administrative staff, our finances, and our accounting. And that safety for you may look different, but it looks like enough time to complete your work. It looks like enough time to have a personal life. It looks like balance. It looks like being adequately staffed. So the board supports a culture of safety for you too. And I hope that you feel that as we move forward, because you've been up against it for a long time and it doesn't look like it's slowing down for any of you. So I hope you recognize that we have that for you as well.
I am going to echo. That's a great comment. I mean, it's obvious that everybody's very busy, and we really appreciate it. Thanks.
And I wanted to say, to follow on to Rachel and Bettina and Stuart's comments, we really do realize that this is the same core staff that's doing the same work that they've always had, in addition to all the new work that we've sent your way with these initiatives. So we really do appreciate all of the hard work. So thank you. And with that, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 And we're adjourned at 5:31.